Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. This is Mary Gardner, and I am so excited today. We have got an amazing show for you. We are going to be talking about courage, about boldness, and about leadership. Before I bring on my guest, I want to share something with you. That courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the decision to move forward despite fear. Today, I want to talk about courage and boldness, not the loud kind, not the performative kind, but the quiet, grounded courage that changes lives. Courage is telling the truth when it would be easier to stay silent. Courage is having a difficult conversation instead of avoiding it. Courage is showing up fully when you are tired, unsure, or stretched. Leadership does not begin with a title. It begins with self-leadership. Before you can lead a family, a business, a team, or a state, you must be willing to lead yourself. Now, some of you that are listening here right now are standing on the edge of a decision, a step that you need to take. You know you need to take it. It's a risk that you've probably been avoiding, a version of yourself you've been hesitating to step into. But here's what I want you to hear today, that you do not need to feel confident to be courageous. You only need to be willing. Boldness is clarity. It's saying, this matters enough for me to act. And when courage and humility walk together, leadership becomes something people trust. Today's conversation is about that kind of leadership. Leadership formed through adversity. Leadership tested under pressure. Leadership rooted in service, faith, and purpose. My guest today embodies that kind of leadership. Jay Collins is Florida's lieutenant governor, a decorated special ops veteran, a man who lost his leg in combat and chose to continue serving, a leader shaped not by comfort, but by conviction. Jay, I am so honored to have you here. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Mary, it's great to be on. Thank you for having me on, and look forward to this conversation.
Me too. Okay, I know your background, that you were, I want to start with that. I want to talk about how you built this, because your background really is so different from most people's, who maybe grew up in politics. They had a great education from the start, but you were kind of a farm boy. You grew up in Montana. You have such an unlikely beginning, which makes you so relatable to people. So I really want to start about how you grew up with your grandparents, about your mom. Your family faced so many hardships. And I want to know how that early upbringing shaped your values and your sense of responsibility, because you went through some hard times.
Yeah, you know, 100%, Mary. But in the end, we come from where we are, and you can't change that. You can't do anything about the circumstances you have, just what you do with them. I was born to a 16-year-old kid. You know, she got caught in drugs and alcohol and made bad choices, and I got adopted by my grandparents. Our family lost our farm coming out of the 70s into the 80s because the economy was in the tanks. Mm. You know, there were health issues, there were bad choices, and there was just a bad economy. Mm. And they ended up selling that farm. And there is an acronym that I always like to bring up when we talk about this. It's ASNF, A Son Never Forgets. Mm. It's been in a few movies, but it's actually an acronym and something my dad talked about when I was little. Mm. You never forget where you come from. You never forget those roots.
Wow.
And the very first lesson I learned is that if we don't fight for what we have, what we love, you can lose it.
Wow.
And you got to be committed. You got to be all in. But those farm boy roots, mm-hmm. and they came with the idea that hard work mattered, that you have the power to raise up and be more. You're not trapped by any circumstance.
Mm.
And frankly, that's what I've done.
Wow.
I have fought to get out of poverty, mm-hmm. to leave there and be comfortable being uncomfortable, and
mm-hmm.
just not knowing where this path is going to go. Sometimes you just got to jump in, put your feet and knees into the breeze and go.
Wow.
And that's been that thing you talked about on the segue, right, on the entrance.
Yeah,
courage isn't being fearless. It's having the ability, the courage, just for 5 seconds longer to stand long enough for things to happen. You know, there's a book, Gates of Fire, by Pressfield. One of my favorite books. It's mm-hmm. a quick read.
Okay.
The movie 300 is loosely, you know, based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is interesting. And, mm-hmm. and the thing I want to talk about is this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in there where Rooster is talking to Deioneikes, and he's an old Spartan and a young Spartan Hela.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask, what is the opposite of fear? And the young guy says, the opposite of fear is a phobos, no fear. And reflexively, that's true. That's what most people say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong. But the opposite of fear is something much bigger than that.
Okay.
And this story goes on throughout the book. And in the end, a third character comes in mm-hmm. and actually explains the opposite of fear is love. It's love of something bigger than yourself, greater than yourself. When I deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq, all of those places, mm-hmm. it wasn't because I disliked them mm-hmm. or I hated them. It's because mm-hmm. I love my family. I love my community. I love my state, my nation. I went there to defend and protect and preserve what we have, not to pick a fight. That mission continues. It's just the battlefields that change.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing, the battlefield. I love it that you said that you're not absent of fear, that you have fear and you kind of, like, do it anyway. And I know that there have been gurus throughout even Jesus, you know, talked about without a vision, the people will perish. You've got to know where you're walking towards. And he'll light our path. Just step, keep moving forward. I know that you did go into the military. I think that your grandparent or your grandfather was in the military. So I'm guessing that your early childhood molded you into that, somebody who desired to do that. But you also, more than just the military, Jay, you were a special ops Green Beret. Like, I want to know mm-hmm. how all that happened. That's the elite. You were a maverick. Like, you went way beyond what most people do enlisting and becoming, you know, a soldier. How did all that happen? That's amazing.
Well, you know, God's plan is bigger than our plan. First off, I say that every day. There's no way on earth that someone could have all of these things that happened in my life, you know, son of a failed farmer, poverty, growing up on commodity cheese, joining the military after a couple of years of college, and, you know, eventually getting into special forces, meeting my wife, becoming a Green Beret, getting stationed together, getting shot and blown up, all of those things. Then getting in to become Lieutenant Governor of Florida. It sounds like a bad Hallmark movie at Christmas, right? One of those movies my mom makes me watch. My mom used to
me
watch as a kid, and my wife makes me watch now. And it's just the reality. But my time in the military really was just not being afraid to compete.
Mm.
Get in, man. Let other people tell you. Mm-hmm. Don't let other people tell you can't do it, man. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. show up.
Mm.
Don't self-select.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the war on terror kicked off, I had finally seen what a Green Beret was. Until then, I really had no recollection.
Yeah.
I got sent to a place in Tampa, Florida, called the Joint Interagency Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of CENTCOM. And, you know, this whole war was kicking off. No one knew anything. Mm-hmm. You didn't know our head from a hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Green Berets. I saw the agencies work together. And I figured out that proverbial question of what I want to do when I grow up.
Mm.
I said, whatever they are, I want to do that.
Wow.
So we wrapped up that deployment. I went to selection. With 2 weeks between the end of the deployment and going to selection, no training. I just knew that you were going to have to kill me and I was going to have to die if I wasn't going to be selected.
Wow.
That was committed.
Oh my gosh, that's intense. Wow.
I was blessed to be selected. They asked me to be an 18 Delta, a Special Forces medic.
Wow.
My last choice. And I said, are you sure I can't be a weapons guy instead? And I said, you want to be a Green Beret, son? He's like, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be a medic. Mm-hmm. Roger that. It's a great
mm-hmm.
idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God's plan was bigger than ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went through 3 years of training to become a Green Beret, and they kept volunteering on from there.
Oh, I know you used that medic service. I mean, didn't you do an operation on yourself or something when you were in the military?
Well, I did. You know, it's been interesting how you are given opportunities to fold and break. But that same moment that can break you can also make you, right? Where you're going to be able to step through that and become the next iteration of yourself.
Wow.
When I got shot,
mm-hmm.
I lost a liter of blood. I put a tourniquet on. I got compartment syndrome. And I could sit there and I would have lost my arm and invariably at that time been medically retired.
Mm.
Or I could pony up. And we did a fasciotomy on the fire base, myself and my junior medic.
Oh,
saved my arm. I have two hands, one leg, so we did pretty good.
Wow.
And, you know, we came back to the fire base 30 days later and continued the mission. That same trip, a few months later, I got hit by a mortar. I fell. I ended up breaking my back, blowing out a bunch of discs.
Oh.
But you know what you do when you're fighting for your life?
Mm-hmm.
You get up and fight. Wow. Because I wasn't going to let my brothers and sisters, my left and right, die. I wasn't going to let them do that while I still had breath in my chest. You just do what you have to do.
Wow.
So we did. We won, and I kept fighting. And, you know, like 7 years later, after that trip was done, and I got to go to a really neat organization on Fort Bragg that they make movies about, you know, and a pretty special place, they cut my leg off in January of 2014. I went through 7 years of surgeries and back failures and my leg falling apart, shooting, moving, communicating, operating like a Green Beret all over the planet. And doing that while I had pain that was a 6, 7, 8, 9 out of 10 every day. I woke up without pain for the first time 3 days after surgery and was like, oh my goodness gracious, I feel great. And the mission then became, I'm going to requalify.
Oh my gosh.
1 year later, we did.
Oh my gosh. I have like literally tears just like pushing out from the inside into my eyeballs. What you've gone through is excruciating. And it's just amazing that a human can go through that kind of torture, that kind of pain, sustain, and then freaking go back into it again and put yourself out there. Do you think that this, because you were able to step up to the plate, it was like that very next step. You just did it. It was just the next step, the next step. Save my arm. You know, every day, probably when you were in 7 years of pain, it was like, I can do this. Is that it? Was it just a step-by-step process? Or did you were like, oh, I'm totally resilient. I can do anything.
No, I don't think I thought about myself as being anything special. I am a part of the community I was raised to be a part of. We select, develop, train, and support people to be like that, right? It's easier to be resilient when you're with resilient people, when you have a team that has a like mindset, people who are committed to winning. Like, look, there was no doubt I was going to requalify. It was either that or I was going to die or break something trying. That's just how committed you have to be. And we did that. And every day that I operated and I did things, I thought about the same things. Am I honoring my family? Am I doing this the right way? And have I given every single thing I can to the day to make myself successful? And if I've done those things and I fail, then nothing was going to change that.
Wow, I love it.
Then you got to check yourself. And that's it. I look at it, I call it the Tuesday effect, right? Like, this is the Tuesday. Yeah, I had pain. Stop whining. Who cares?
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Cares.
Well,
get up and work.
Yeah, get up and work, man. You are the just epitome of amazing courage and strength. It's such an honor to talk to you. We're going to jump in and listen to a little bit of words from our sponsor. So please stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes hearing this exciting, exhilarating story from Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Jay Collins.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner of the Mary Gardner Show. And if you missed it, we're having an amazing conversation with Lieutenant Governor of the state of Florida, Jay Collins. And we were talking about his background and how he was in the military. He actually performed surgery on his arm and he lost his leg in Afghanistan. And one of the things they just shared with us is that you can be more resilient when you are surrounded by other really good, resilient people. And we're talking about courage, and courage becomes leadership when other people are involved. Like what Jay just said, leadership is not about control. It's about clarity. It's about calm in the chaos. It's about earning trust when emotions are high. And Jay, we know that you have led environments where decisions carried life or death circumstances and consequences. What kind of leadership shapes how you show up everywhere in today's world?
Well, Mary, that's a great question. You just said something that I talk about every time we have a conversation on leadership, and that's be the quiet person in the room, right? Real leadership isn't about thumping your chest and talking about me. Real leadership's about we. The best leaders don't do everything themselves. They bring out the best in the people around them for overwhelming success. Look, life is about winning. Losing sucks. I expect to win.
I love that.
Does that mean that we're not going to lose sometimes?
Yeah.
No, man, that happened.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I gave everything and my team gave everything and we broke it off and we lost, all right, man, we got beat. Get up and fight another day. Nobody cares. Do it again and again and again. Aristotle actually said that excellence should be our only alternative, and excellence is nothing but habit. It is laying down those bricks, those pieces, those fundamental things every day, and demanding excellence of yourself, or as close to it as you can get at that moment.
Wow.
So what kind of leader do I espouse to be?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be the hardest worker in the room. Mm. You got to care more about other people than yourself. I believe real leadership comes at the cost of one thing first, and that's your own self-interest.
Mm.
It's not about me. It has to be about the team, about the success of the group that you're responsible
mm-hmm,
for.
Mm-hmm.
Look, as Lieutenant Governor, we have 23.5 million people in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
At any given time, 40% of them, roughly, probably wouldn't pick me up if I fell down a flight of steps, right? Like, that's just how life is.
Wow.
But that's okay. I still get to serve them.
Wow.
And it is get to. I mean, only in a nation like this, and with a plan far greater than mine, you know, God's plan is that.
Amen.
Can someone who grew up in a trailer, adopted from a broken home, be the Lieutenant Governor of Florida and knocking on the door to do more?
Oh, man. That's crazy. You know, has anyone ever told you sound like a motivational speaker?
Yes.
I love this stuff. I'm taking notes. I'm like, I'm going to go home and do all this stuff right now. I want to know, because you have been a strong leader, you certainly have been sharing with your personal story. But why do most people misunderstand about strong leadership? And we know a lot of people, you were saying that you represent 23.5 million people in the city or in the state of Florida. How come so many people in politics in particular are not strong leaders? And why do people misunderstand this whole concept about strong leadership?
Well, you know what? It's the system. And I will say this. I believe most people probably get into politics to do things the right way. And I believe that. I'm an optimist. You can't come from all the places I came from and not believe there is something bigger and that there is a purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
I exist because there's purpose.
Amen. I love
that. You know, it is hard to stand even when you have people around you, but it's really hard to stand by yourself.
Mm.
And at some point, you get broken down because you feel like there's nobody coming. And God didn't promise us life would be easy.
Amen.
Right? We have opportunity, but if you really want to make a difference, I remind people all the time, when we make steel and we want it to be hard and true, it takes heat and pressure. We only form the strongest steel when there is heat and pressure and it's molded into what it's supposed to be. God does the same thing with us.
Yeah.
Right before you have that moment where you explode through that, you know, that point that creates the next version of yourself.
That's right.
You got to go through something that's a trial, a tribulation, something that brings out the heat, the pain, and that pressure.
Ooh.
That's all right.
Right.
If bad things happen, just smile and be thankful.
Amen.
That means there's more on the table and more to do.
That's right.
And I think often people lose faith and they lose hope.
Yep. That's right.
And they lose focus on what they're fighting for.
Yeah. Amen. That goes back to that purpose question.
That's right.
And, but there's still so many people that, you know, before you were there, you know, I mean, you were young when you went over that threshold, when you were forced to go out because you entered the military early. You also saved your grandfather's life. You had so many things where, as an early person, you went through that heat and that pressure. But what about people? How do you lead these people? They're emotional, fearful, resistant, rather than logical. They just want what they want when they want it, like a little okay, so you're leading people like that, and how do you debate them? How do you bring them over? How do you persuade them that to look at that dream and that vision for their life?
You know, I honestly think that people in Americans at large, we disproportionately have more in common than that which divides us.
Mm.
When I retired from the military, I took part in what we call the Breaking Bread Tour. I ran a bike across America, 3,000 miles in 50 days.
Wow.
We fed 100 people hot meals from Los Angeles, Skid Row, all the way to the east coast of Florida and back into Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. My wife and my boys were with us all along the way.
Wow.
And I say that to get to this point, and I'm going to actually paraphrase Reagan a little bit here.
Okay.
You know, he was often called the great communicator.
Yes.
But he refuted that and said, I'm not the great communicator. I communicate great things.
Mm.
People know it when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why is it that you can just see somebody sometimes, and it doesn't matter the politics, the creed, the color, the race, the gender, they just resonate? It's because they're talking real stuff.
Yeah.
They know who they are.
Yeah.
And they're not getting caught up in that.
Yeah.
We are primed right now for leaders you are willing to just say it's not about politics, it is about people.
Oh.
I'm a Republican, I'm as conservative as the day is long, but you know what I've learned in life, man, it's not about me.
Wow.
It is about our state, about our communities, it's about our people. And I want to make sure that our people are as successful as they can be with everything we're doing. And that means I have to leave it all on the table, get out there and do that.
Yeah.
And there is something when a man or a woman stands in front of you and just doesn't play games and talks right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
You know, outside of that 10%, a little bit on the left, the right, whatever, those fringe where they're just never going to be okay with it. You know what? You can reach people because they know it. But you just got to be comfortable being alone, if you have to, standing by yourself and fighting for what you believe is right.
Yeah.
And if that means that you have to die alone, fight alone, so be it.
Wow.
But at least you're going to do the right thing.
Oh, man. So powerful. Well, you're right. I mean, today's culture, it is kind of those people on the fringe that are so emotional and get caught up. And they're the ones that are making the moves on social media. So we see them a lot. But today's culture, communication often does break down really quickly. So how do you stay grounded and effective when conversations get heated? I know you say you've got your thing, but are you listening more?
God gave us 2 years and one mouth for a purpose, right? Listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do people want? Let them say their piece. There's no harm in listening. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Constitution ensures that we all have opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Outcome comes down to elbow grease, hard work, and many other factors.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, a lot of it's on that person.
Mm-hmm.
Listening, that's the entry, right? Like, you should listen to people.
Yeah,
maybe you learn something new.
Yeah.
Maybe you change someone's mind. Maybe you create someone who's an ally and not an enemy.
Oh, amen.
There are many potential possibilities that are good from listening.
Wow. Well, you've talked. Go ahead.
Don't be afraid to stand. You know, don't be afraid to tell the truth and have that hard conversation like you talked about in the intro, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stay true to who you are and what matters.
Yeah.
But there is no harm in a conversation.
Right. I love that. Well, I know that you're traveling all over the state of Florida. I mean, that's your job. And you're introducing yourself, you're getting to talk to people. What are you listening to? What are the people of Florida concerned about now?
Well, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, it's affordability. Overwhelmingly, they want to talk about property insurance. They want to talk about property tax. They want to talk about how do I keep more money to live my American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear you. I want to know the same thing. We have fought and we have insurance rates stabilizing, but there's more to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about getting rid of property tax and homesteaded properties.
Wow.
I think that's something we can do.
Mm.
That fight's there. But I think what we're not talking about enough is it's time to have that big, hairy, audacious goal, that BHAG.
Yes.
This is America, and this is Florida. We do hard things.
Exactly.
You know what? We've got to build that middle engine of our economy, draw in jobs, draw in and create opportunity that raises up everybody. I don't want to just live quietly and die. I want to lead. I want Florida to be exceptional.
Wow.
And I want everybody to have the same opportunity because a rising tide floats all boats.
Mm-hmm.
And when Florida leads, America wins. And let's be really honest. I expect America to win.
Amen.
God has blessed this nation. We better remember who we are before it's too late.
Mm.
And it's time to fight for those things right here at home.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're actually getting to talk to people across the state. And have you had anybody that didn't trust you? Did they disagree with you? What are those kind of things that are controversial in the state of Florida right now?
Well, controversial, there's always something, right? I mean, property tax relief is controversial because many people in the system think it's not manageable. That we're going to have to gut our law enforcement or our roads or our education. And the simple fact is roughly 30% of the money that comes from property tax across our state comes from homesteaded properties. That's a de minimis number in the scheme of things. Now, mind you, we have paid off 50% of our debt. Your debt load as a citizen in Florida is 200 and some bucks.
Oh, my.
Look at the federal difference. It's 122,000 or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
We have maxed out our reserves.
Mm-hmm.
We can't add any more money in.
Wow.
We have a surplus because math wins. You know, I say that as a guy with 10 fingers and 5 toes, math always wins. We have been successful. So I think there are ways to absolutely do that because the American dream is about owning your home.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get people to keep that money on their homesteaded properties and do what we should.
Wow.
But don't tell me it's because it's too hard or it's improbable. Show up, roll your sleeves up, and let's get to work, and let's be committed to the people, not committed to the process, not committed to politics. It's about people.
I love that. What's the first step to achieving that dream and that vision for the state of Florida, for everybody to own their own home? What's that first step? We've got 1 minute left.
All right, that's easy. Well, we have to go talk to people, right? So we're doing that across the state. We're traveling all over. Two, we have to put out a strategy. That is the governor's to do. I am the number two guy in the state. He is the number one. When he lays that out there, it should have all the bells and whistles, the I's dotted, T's crossed, and that should be our approach to get to what we want to do, which is property tax relief completely for homesteaded property. Mm. So when you buy your home, you don't pay property tax on that homesteaded property. And then it's passing it through the Senate and the House. When that happens, it's putting it on the ballot. And you got to get 60% of the people to vote for that. And when that happens, then it's institutionalized and it's put into law and put into our Constitution. And then you have to roll it out. Those are the steps to make it happen. It's all tenable, but it takes hard work and it takes communication. So people got to come to us and let us know their thoughts.
Amazing. We're going to be attracting tons more people into Florida, it sounds like, with a dream like that, that everyone's going to be able to own a home. I love your vision. Jay, stay with us. And if you guys will stay with us as well, we've got our sponsors coming up, and we'll be rejoining with the Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Jay Collins, in just a moment.
You're not starting over. You're rising higher. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mary Gardner of the Mary Gardner Show. I'm here with Jay Collins, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Florida. We are having a fascinating conversation about leadership, about courage, about boldness. And one of the things he just shared with us is that his vision for the state of Florida is that everybody will have a dream and a vision of having their own home. And so we've been talking about all these great things. I want to know, Jay, how you came to the place of having your purpose. And I want to talk about that for our guests and people that are listening in. How important is it that someone has a purpose in their life, something they drive towards, something that will get them up in the morning, make them stay up late at night, and then avoid all of the time suckers and energy suckers like social media and people that drain us? How do people get solid on their purpose?
You know what's funny? My purpose was never to be in politics, Mary. That was never my dream. It kind of happened. My purpose was to provide value, to make a difference, right? If you just show up with whatever is ahead of you and you put your heart and your soul into it and you demand excellence, your very best in what you're doing, you provide value. If you do that, it doesn't matter if you're doing what you want to do or what you have to do. Mm. You're going to be successful. Mm. And that, more than anything, is how I do it. When I got into politics, I was a senior leader in the nonprofit world. And we had just had COVID happen. We had just had Afghanistan and that horrible withdrawal back to back. And I just couldn't stand on the sidelines. Mm. I buried friends there. I almost died twice. I got shot and blown up in Afghanistan. I guess you could say I had a blast, right?
Ah!
And thanks, you know. See, I've got a sense of humor, right? I live in Tampa. I'm a one-legged dude. I have a great Halloween costume for pirates. Mm. We have the Buccaneers and Gasparilla. It's wonderful, right?
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, it's all worked out perfectly. But, you know, this happened because I just got to the point where I realized a couple things. One, there's a difference between quiet and silent. Mm. As Green Berets, we call ourselves quiet professionals. But functionally, we have been silent. We didn't talk about what we knew, what we learned, all of our lessons. And we let others speak for us, and they got it wrong. Mm. And simply put, when you're silent, as we mostly were, people speak for you. When you're quiet, people wait to hear you speak. Yeah. We have things to say. Mm. And I came to a second realization, and it was very clear. Through history, when our nation has been on the brink, it's not the politicians that come to the rescue. It certainly isn't the bureaucrats. It is the working class and the warriors, the people who build businesses, sign checks, and put their neck on the line that have come to the rescue of America every single time they've needed it.
Wow.
We find ourselves in those moments, and then you got to ask, you know, who else is there? If there's nobody else, then it's me. Mm. If not me, then who? If not now, then when? So you jump in.
Amen.
And that led us into politics. And if you're going to do anything, you better do it all the way and be committed because, again, losing sucks. We better expect to win.
Love it.
And, you know, 3 years, we passed 55 bills. That's more than most people pass in 8. We did things we were told couldn't be done.
Mm.
Your purpose is just knowing who you are and being relentless and refusing to let people bend and break you into what they expect. Mm. Be you, be bold, man. God didn't ask us to be meek. He told us to be bold and step in and fight like lions.
Yeah.
So do that every day.
It seems like the other side, the Democrats, the liberals, are fighting really hard too. What do you tell the average person who is like, okay, Jay, I'm not a Green Beret. I'm not a special ops. I'm not going to cut off my leg or have my leg cut off or cut off my arm or do, you know, go into the military and be blown up like you. I'm just a normal person. What can I do? And how can I contribute? And you know what? Maybe they're a little bit timid. What do you say to them?
Sure.
And is it everybody's purpose right now to fight for our country?
Yeah. If you look around, there's nowhere else to run. So if we don't all get in the game, we're going to blink, and this nation is not going to be what it should be or what it could be or what it has to be for our children to be successful.
Mm.
You know, there's no one else to bear that blunt. It's our turn.
Yeah.
Through history, we have a nation that was founded in Yorktown, fought for in places like New Orleans and Little Round Top, amongst the poppies of Flanders Field, the cliffs of Point d'Hoc. It was there in Korea and Vietnam and Afghanistan and Iraq.
Mm.
So really, those ideas, ideals, and principles were passed down by our founding fathers for us to do one simple thing. It's our responsibility as citizens, and that's to protect and preserve what we have and what we love so the next generation can do the same thing.
Wow.
That is our responsibility, and we cannot be the ones that fail to leave it better, fail to pass that opportunity on. So that means we better roll our sleeves up and get to work, right? And what am I going to tell people? Do you think that I woke up as a 6-7-year-old thinking I wanted to be a Green Beret? Give me a break, right? I'm the son of a failed farmer. I was told by more people that I couldn't do things. I just didn't believe them. And I stood and fought. And over time, I had success. You know, put this from a clinical side, the more that you stand and fight and you push against resistance, your amygdala grows.
Okay.
And that is clinically and biophysically, biomechanically, it's what happens. It becomes easier to stand and fight.
Okay.
You don't have to be the Green Beret today, but that doesn't mean you can't be. There is nothing special about me. I'm a poor kid from the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And if I can do it, they can do it. I promise you.
Wow. Yeah. So it is. It's like building that muscle. It's like hitting the gym. In the beginning, you got flabby arms, flabby legs, and then you keep going. It's consistency. It's showing up. It's pushing back. And so that's what you're saying. And I'm guessing you're saying start in your own neighborhood. What needs to be done? How can you bring value in your own neighborhood? How can you have conversations that are going to impact your entire neighborhood? I know recently I was involved a little bit in the city of Winter Park. They changed the name for our Christmas celebration to Light Up Park or Lights on Park. And I got very upset because it was a 75-year tradition. And they kept the Christmas parade, they kept the Christmas tree, but the overall arching theme was not Christmas on Park. And so I really, I kind of enraged people on my Facebook just because we're like, we want to stand up. We're patriot. Christ is in Christmas, and we want to keep it that way. We still celebrate it, other people's thing. But people during that time saw me as a leader. I'm like, I'm not really.
There you go.
But I did something in my neighborhood. So I want to encourage anybody that's listening, start where you are. I remember a little story that I tell somebody sometimes on stage about a lady who was like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know my purpose. She was sitting on a stoop in New York City. And on the steps, and this guy comes by. He said, what are you up to? She said, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out my purpose, but I don't know what to do. He said, well, what's right in front of you? She said, what are you talking about? He said, what's right in front of you? And she looks down and she said, ants. He said, okay, we'll get started. She said, what? He said, go get started. So she goes inside. She researches the internet. She starts reading about ants. Like, oh my gosh, this is fascinating. So she published an article on it. It was well received. She published another article. And then they asked her to do a book. And she ended up becoming one of the foremost experts on ants. So my question to everybody here, what's right in front of you? And then go get involved. So I love that you were saying. All right. So speaking of you and all of your amazing leadership, Jay, I know that you've been widely viewed as someone considering a future run for governor. I know that Ron DeSantis personally tapped you as lieutenant governor. He has amazing faith in you. But what questions are you asking yourself as you discern what's right for you and what's next?
Well, you know, as I've said all along, I'm tired of people who think they have a right to do something because it's just their time or they think it's their time. Mm-hmm. You got to earn it, right? Mm-hmm. This is Florida. This is America. Mm-hmm. We don't anoint anybody. You got to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
The people have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to do was, one, is this the right thing for me and my family?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first question. Because if we can't do that, and this isn't the moment, and this is not my time, and I can't do that to my family,
mm-hmm.
you know, we checked that box. The next one was, do I have a support structure around me, the people close to me, to help make sure that's good?
Mm-hmm.
You know, check, Roger, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see, how is my type of leadership, this boots on the ground, mm-hmm. in your face, you know, no holds barred, no fear mindset, how is that going to be received? Because I know it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, what I've found is people want someone who's genuine. They don't want status quo. They don't want politics as normal.
Yeah.
They want leadership.
Yeah.
They want somebody who actually cares about people more than politics.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a matter of putting things in place to make sure that we could pull this together, that the opportunities were there, and then it could all come together. And that's a process we've been going through.
Mm.
But academic to all of that is I had to prove that I was competent.
Yeah.
You know, I just got made the lieutenant governor. And, you know, again, nothing good in life is given to you. It's earned. I better go earn it and show people that I'm competent and earn their trust as lieutenant governor and show them at a minimum I'm going to be present, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to be relentless in my dedication to our people.
Mm.
And I think we've done a good job of that, but there is always more to do.
Wow.
You know, you get one shot at this.
Yeah.
So we are sitting on the precipice right now of, you know, making that final announcement of whether we're going to jump in or not. And I'll tell you, stay tuned. We've made our decision. We know exactly what the plan ahead of us is. And, you know, here soon, we'll announce that and looking forward to having more conversation on that.
Are you sure you don't want to announce here? I'd love to be the one. Welcome, Governor Jay Collins. I'm so excited. All right. Tell me a conversation where you developed trust with someone who actually was potentially your opponent and you were out there and maybe they were a grocery store owner, or maybe they were a janitor, or maybe they just, you know, I don't know, a former vet, and they didn't like what was happening in the current administration with ICE and all the different things. Tell me what your conversation was with them, and how did you develop a good relationship enough for them to say, I get it, and I like it, and I want it?
Well, you know, I think that we have those conversations almost every day.
Mm.
I'm not afraid to go have a conversation with people. I'm not. Right, there's nothing that's ever going to go wrong by just having the ability to listen and be honest in what I believe and what I think is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, dozens, hundreds of times at this point, we have had conversations. A couple days ago, we got in a room full of, you know, mixed political people, right? Some Democrats, some Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Some that were, you know, undecided or no party affiliated, NPA. And I started off by saying that whole line on Reagan, we're going to communicate great things. Let's talk about why America matters,
ooh,
about who we are, amen, where our roots come from. Let's go from things we have in common, and let's not divide us by the things we don't agree on.
Mm.
And I said, look, I dream of a time when we remind ourselves we are the American people and that our founding fathers were correct in their resolute word choice. It is we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, a nation of the people, by the people, for the people. If I agree with you 80 to 85% of the time, you're an ally, not an enemy.
Ooh.
Let's come together on those things. And they had never heard someone in a position like me say those things.
Wow.
And say it in a way that they could believe it.
Mm.
And the truth is, they're like, look, I don't agree with everything you say.
Yeah.
But I can follow you.
Yeah.
Because you're real.
Yeah.
And that matters, right?
Absolutely.
People crave leadership.
They do. People do crave leadership. Oh, Jay, you have hit the nail on the head, and I love hearing your heart and your servanthood for the state of Florida. I am such a fan, but we're going to take one more break. And everybody, so thankful that you're here listening to us. Take a moment to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back for the final section of the Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. Come back. We'll be there in a minute.
Sharpen your voice. Refine your brand with the Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. I am so excited that you're here today. We've had so much fun talking to the one and only Lieutenant Governor of the state of Florida, Jay Collins. And Jay and I met several months back. and we were talking about his personal story. And he was just like this tank, like super strong, super fit, very intentional. He came up to me. He knew that I worked with influencers and people on their speeches and books. And he had the heart to go out and to speak to people. He has so driven to wake people up. He is so driven to help people. And it was so inspiring for me to get to know him personally. And then we stayed in touch and I texted him one time. And all of a sudden he said, "I'm sorry, I'm in Israel. I'm saving people. I can't talk." I'm like, "What? Oh my gosh." And so Jay has had his boots on the ground for years, and he's somebody that we can trust, and he's somebody with major character. And so I want to talk to you just about what leadership is. At the end of the day, leadership is not about position. It is about character. Titles are going to fade and circumstances will change, but values remain. Jay, this is the part of the conversation that matters most. I want to know how faith has shaped the way that you lead and you live.
Well, Mary, that's probably one of the biggest questions I think we all ask ourselves every day, right? You can't come through the life that I have, you know, every step along this way and not understand that there's something larger at play, right? Like, you're doing this and we're going through these things for a reason, to grow, to become better, more, something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, that faith drives us. And I'll tell you, there are times that all of us get frustrated. We feel like we just can't bear. We feel sorry for ourselves, mm-hmm. and we, you know, snivel on the sidelines until either a friend checks us and yanks ourselves straight, or mm-hmm. we do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, we all deal with that. And I don't ever want someone to think that there's these super mutant people where they're just completely oblivious to whatever the stress is and they just push through it. That's not it. Mm-hmm. We all deal with it.
Yeah.
But it's just understanding and having the perspective to realize that that moment doesn't define us.
Mm.
We are more than that moment, that it's what we do with that moment that is going to be the catalyst for where we go and what we become next.
Mm.
And having perspective that there is more. Faith is the most important part of all of this.
Wow. Amen.
One, if you don't know there's more to life, look around you and look at how everything moves on time and our planet exists and everything that is so highly improbable. And you can see that it was created and it exists.
Mm.
And then think about what faith provides. I think the most powerful word in our English language is tomorrow, because tomorrow implies a few things. It's what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not burdened or tied down to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fresh slate ahead of you, but it also implies hope.
Mm-hmm.
We have hope no matter what.
Yes.
It may not feel like it at that moment, but there is always hope.
Mm.
There is always a new day tomorrow.
Amen.
And we can choose to do more, do less, or be more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no matter what, it's there.
Yeah.
So faith is there. You know, and I am grateful for every single thing I've gone through because I know it's God's plan to help me become who I am meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't trade those things.
Amen.
But then it's about relaying that on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have two boys in our house, Gabe and Colt, and they're everything. You know, my wife, Layla, and I have spent 43 years serving our nation.
Wow.
And we know that good people have to step up and fight, and they have to give their all, and they have to be committed to that moment.
Wow.
Because you never know how that action you take that day is going to change everything for someone around you.
Oh, amen.
Or where it's going to go from there.
Absolutely. Yep, showing up.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there are two things that we don't talk about enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is audacity.
Mm.
You got to have the audacity to step in.
Yeah.
You know, people sit here and they are fearful.
Yeah.
They don't jump into the race. They don't jump into the thing. They don't want to deal with it because what if I fail? What if this? What if that?
Mm-hmm.
We can what if anything to death.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare, follow your gut, pray about it, talk to your family, make a decision.
Wow.
It doesn't have to take forever.
Yeah.
But you got to have audacity to change the world.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
And there's a word that my dad shared when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a made-up word, right? It's stick-to-itiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Resiliency.
Yeah.
man, you're just going to have to deal with it some days. And there are days that are going to stink.
Yeah.
And it's going to want to break you.
Yeah.
But in the end, when you get through it, you have that satisfaction of smiling and proving all the haters wrong.
Yeah.
Because we should expect to win.
Mm.
But you know what? When you get through that,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to gloat. And
yeah.
I think I hope and pray
mm-hmm.
that people, when they do this, they also have a little bit of awareness
mm-hmm.
of where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get taught humility
yeah.
through all of this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to get knocked down. No one's perfect. No one's above it all.
Amen.
And
yeah.
you rebuild ourselves. So a little bit of empathy, I think, is taught to us through humility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I think we've reached the position where we can make the biggest difference in those around us.
Yeah.
God uses imperfect vessels to push his perfect plan.
That is right. Amen. Amen.
It's that simple.
Yeah. And it is simple. It's that nobody is perfect and people are trying. The ones that are out there making some moves and that one foot in front of the other, hats off to them. And we need everybody right now to save our country. We need patriots. We need people to
That's
stand
right.
up and talk to your neighbors about keeping things sane and safety and all these things that we've been talking about a little today. I know that you mentioned your family and how important that is. I want to know how important your family has played in keeping you grounded as you're out and you're traveling and you're away and you were deployed. How has your family been grounding you?
Well, I think one, they keep it real. My wife is a real person, right? She's a service member. She's a rock star. She's a force of nature in her own right.
Mm.
And she's not afraid to say the same thing, right? And say her view, even if it's what I don't want to hear, right? Like, that's just the part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to fall in love with what you say, right? You got to actually let it get out there and see if you're on the right side of this or you're doing it the right way. You got to let life prove it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I say it doesn't mean it's fact.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, if you're really honest about it, you're going to see the fruits of our labor. They're going to grow and they're going to amplify and they're going to keep moving forward if we're doing it for the right reasons on the right things. And that's really, I think, every parent's dream.
Yeah.
I do what I have to do
mm-hmm.
right now. So God willing, my kids will get to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they can change the world that way. But right now, I know that I have been given a gift of, you can't break me. I'll always get up.
Yeah.
I've learned that. And let war come in my time so peace may come in theirs. This is why we have to fight now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's so great. Would that be your personal code or principles, do you think, is that you just keep going? But is how do you guide your decisions? Like, you're still having to make strong and hard decisions. What's guiding your decisions?
Well, that's a great question. And simply put, I think about things through a couple of lenses. Does this honor my family? Does it honor my neighbor's family? One. Two, is this going to honor the people who have paid that ultimate price, whether it's in our military, whether it's in our law enforcement or firefighters? But more importantly, is it going to honor the people who are left behind when their loved ones fell? Are they going to question what we're doing?
Mm.
Sacrifice is real. And if we're going to really ask people to risk everything for everyone, well, then when that sacrifice happens, we have to, as leaders, make sure we keep that in perspective when we make hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is this, how does this play out in the tincture of time?
Mm.
Are we leaving it better than we got it?
Oh, amen.
We can't fall in love with something because it makes sense right now. I don't want to leave it worse for our kids. I am not going to do something that's going to burden them.
Oh.
If that were the case, we would all be California.
Spending.
Yes. You know, try hard to screw up that state.
Oh.
And they have spent themselves into an oblivion.
They have done a great job at that, haven't they? That's amazing.
They have.
We got about 1 minute before we go into our next last section. When the noise gets loud for you, where do you return for clarity?
You know, there's a couple of things. One, I think we all have to sit and reflect and pray and find a way to really come to grips in terms of what are the things we're wrestling. And then, honestly, I like to go for a run. You know, I find that when I can unplug and get away, even if it's for a couple miles, and shut my mind off, mm-hmm. I free up all the burden, all the weight, the cell phone that weighs us down, and I can just think about the things that matter the most.
Mm.
you got to get out there, man. We are a strong, I believe in a strong body, a strong mind,
Amen.
And a strong spirit. Those three things working together.
Yes.
And when they're all clicking, you can really make some amazing decisions.
Mm.
And you got to have that outlet, that vent.
Yeah, that's so true.
Really be able to do it.
Agree wholeheartedly. I try to swim a mile a couple of days a week, so I totally get that. All right, you got 30 seconds to answer this question because we're going to move on. What kind of legacy do you hope to leave, Jay Collins, for the people of Florida? 30 seconds. Ready, go.
That I showed up and I fought, and I left it all out there for them.
Wow. That was even closer. That was really good. I love that. All right, we are going to head into a segment called You Rock. This is a segment that I called You Rock because the segment exists in honor of my brother Terry, who is one of the greatest encouragers I have ever known. And he believed that people rise when someone speaks or sparks belief into them. And so now I carry that torch. And You Rock is about recognizing people who show up fully, who play all in, who serve with courage and heart. Jay, I want to say this to you directly, my friend. Jay Collins, you rock. You rock for serving this country. You rock for continuing to lead after unimaginable loss. You rock for showing up for this people of Florida with strength, humility, and conviction. And you rock for playing full out when it would have been easier to step back. Thank you, Jay, for your service. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for being here. I want to hear about who you think rocks, and we're going to close out this show today.
Well, Mary, thank you, first off. You know, it's about being present, right? I think, honestly, one, you rock. Thank you for telling that story, but thank you for honoring your brother's heart and vision the way you do. When we speak somebody's name, they never really are truly gone.
Man.
And we honor them for eternity every time we memorialize that in conversation.
Mm.
And it's important to do that. So thank you for doing that.
Mm.
You certainly rock because of that and so many more things. So I want to give a shout out, frankly, to my wife
Amen.
And my kids. You know, they rock. They deal with a lot right now because I am torn between what I want to do and what I have to do.
Mm.
And I appreciate their patience. And their dignity and their courage and their grace.
I love
for understanding that my mission and my role right now often is to do what I have to do, though my heart tugs me elsewhere.
Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful. Jay Collins, you are amazing. I appreciate everybody for being here today. This time flew by. We learned so many things about leadership and courage and boldness and stepping out. And Floridians, we need you. We need to save Florida. We need to save patriotism and our conservative country. Thank you guys so much. God bless each of you.